This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
In many, many different ways, whether it's the weather, whether it's financial with what's going on with the banks, or it's just simply March Madness, and that's college hoops, and it's been pretty exciting to watch some of the early matches already. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you for this show as we really do navigate some tricky times, my friends. I'll tell you, the one of the more interesting things that we've talked about lately has nothing to do with any of the things that I just mentioned, right? Nothing to do with that. We're going to go to the banks. You know, if the banks want federal rescue, what do they have to do? The argument is they have to accept whatever the federal regulations are when they want to be bailed out, like Silicon Valley Bank, because of a tricky law that they weren't subject to the stress test that helped tank them in a sense, right? And there were companies that had billions in SVB. And then, of course, that sets the world on its axis in a much different way. We're definitely going to get into banking. Dawn Pretorius is going to join us, too. She's written an interesting book about money in a different sense of money laundering and some of the craziness that is happening. And you'll definitely want to hear her. And that comes up in a couple of segments here on the show. But before we go there, like I said, this has nothing to do with any of that. Instead, it has to do with you're on a plane and you're relying on the other passengers not to lose it, because we've seen that happen lately. Oh, let me open the emergency door. Oh, let me go get a spoon and shave it off and go after one of the flight attendants. And then, of course, we have to land the plane. But there's also been all these strange near collisions on runways, right? Just really strange things. And then violent turbulence, not the passenger type, just turbulence. And I think some people that are flying are starting to worry about it, because you get in that tube and how high up are you and how fast are you going? And do you really think about it? I'm someone who's flown a lot. And now we're seeing that in 2023, we're having a lot of strange things happen. I mean, sometimes you'll hear the pilot navigating here. We're going to go this way to avoid some of the more bumpy areas. We're going to go higher. We're going to fly a little bit lower. But now some of this is unavoidable, right? You know, there was the story late last year where the United Airlines Boeing 777 just plunged toward the Pacific Ocean for 21 seconds right after it took off. And it pulled up 800 feet over the Pacific Ocean. And passengers on that flight were screaming out loud. Screaming out loud. And now, just a handful of months into 2023, there's other things that have been happening that are equally as scary as that. So there is a U.S. Federal Aviation Administration safety summit that's going on. And they're talking about flying and how many planes are in the air and schedules and all of that. And overall, because of the amount of planes that fly from all over the country and from other countries coming into the country and leaving and going out to other countries, flying is really still an incredibly safe way to travel. Commercial plane crashes are very rare. 45,000 flights each day in the U.S., no fatalities. And that's a good thing, right? Post-COVID, because more people want to fly. But these near misses and the turbulent air is scary. So now they're looking at safety procedures and how do you keep passengers out of harm's way? And how do you look for warning signs of potential trouble? I think especially with the near collisions, those kinds of things, they have to figure that out. I mean, back in January when you had an American airline cross a runway at JFK when a Delta airline was taken off, how does that happen? And then you had a United airliner cross a runway in Honolulu at that airport just as a cargo aircraft was coming in to land. I mean, that was pretty close. Nothing happened, thank goodness. Nothing happened. And then at Burbank Airport, which I've flown in several times, in fact, just a year ago at this time, at Burbank's airport, you had that Mesa plane that had to make a go around and abort their landing when they realized a SkyWest plane was taking off from the very same runway. I mean, those are some close incidents, right? And then you also had in Boston where they averted a crash. You had a Lear jet take off without clearance, like, we're just going to take off. And there was a JetBlue flight that was coming in to land on an intersecting runway. But the JetBlue plane initiated a climb out, taking that evasive action to get away from it. So this safety summit thing is pretty important, because how can they figure out these warnings, especially the near misses? And turbulent air, they're always going to have to come up with ways to be able to spot that sooner, figure it out, all of that. That's pretty scary, and there have been some scary moments. But the near collisions, I can't even imagine if any of those had hit each other, you know, where you should know when one's taking off and when one's going on another airline. I mean, it is like a jigsaw puzzle, but there are people that get paid a lot of money and have the technical skill to know how to arrange that. So with more people flying, and of course you've got pilot shortages, you have pilot fatigue. I mean, that probably plays somewhat of a part in this, right? I mean, how much focus is the focus you need? You need a massive amount of concentration, both when you're flying and the air traffic controllers. It's like a pressure cooker. You want to see a good movie that simulates what it's like for the people who are controlling the flights that you never see? It's called Pushing Tin. John Cusack and Billy Thornton are in it. Watch that movie. And it is, from what I understand from the people I know that are in the business, it really is like what it's like to be in that situation. It really is. All right, a couple of quickies before we dive into our next segment. How about Tennessee? Number 4 Tennessee escaping with a win over number 13 Louisiana. Sorry for our Louisiana fans. Top-seeded Houston had to fend off Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky, 16th ranked. And Princeton, this is huge, knocked off number 2 Arizona. Big for Princeton, an Ivy League school, to knock off Arizona. So that is March Madness, and that is the beauty of one and done. One and done. So if you filled out your brackets and you had some of those teams that lost, you're going to take a little bit of a ding. But if you had everybody else that moved forward, good for you. And you know how this goes on both sides of the bracket. More and more people get into this whole March Madness thing. That's why we're talking about it briefly here at the top. You know, you pay a couple of dollars for the office pool, and suddenly you're in the race. Who can't use a couple of bucks these days? All right, banks and what's happening with them, things you should be concerned about, what a crazy week it was after last Friday and the failure of Silicon Valley Bank. What does the aftermath look like? We're talking about it next.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Time, let's face it, the stock market is the world's biggest craps table, and I'm not here to give you advice on what to do with your money. I've had to really school myself on what to do. I mean, seriously, because you're out there in the wild, wild west, my friends. We know that. Well, there's something that's about to happen with stocks. There's going to be a wild swing because there's trillions in what they call option contracts that are going to expire, and I'll get to that in a second. But you've got regional banks that are being pressured. You have big banks that are really reaping the benefits in a sense because they're rescuing a lot of people, or that's how people feel. You have Goldman boosting the recession odds. So it's pretty interesting. Let's start with the regionals that are very pressured. I think about that when I'm driving around. Because I've had the great honor of living in this fabulous country in every single area of the country, from the south to the north to the Midwest to the east to the west, etc. And I've dealt with local bankers. I've spoken at banking events, and and there's something about people that start banks in small communities and support the local teams, you know, their names on the back of the shirt and all that sort of stuff. But you look at now, because of some of these banks that are failing, you look at what's going to happen to some of these other regional banks, because people are going to pull their money out and are pulling their money out of the fear of what's going to happen. I'll give you an interesting example. It's like when you look at bank shares are rebounding off of some of the worst lows, because you've got also big banks that are helping to rescue them as well. But we hear of these banks like Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and did you know, yes, if you were in Silicon Valley and you worked at a startup, we're one of the big companies in tech, you would have heard of it. But most people didn't know Silicon Valley until it collapsed last Friday and left investors scrambling to identify other banks that have similar, you know, to identify other banks that they can go to. And then looking at the issues with banks that are similar to Silicon Valley, where they have a high rate of uninsured deposits and bonds or loans with a long time to maturity because they're all in that risky position, right? So like shares of First Republic, they reversed their losses and regional bank stocks pushed higher because 11 major U.S. banks are struck, you know, they struck a rescue deal for that firm. So this is what happens. You know, financial institutions getting together to generate $20 billion in support for First Republic because they see what happens. Because they had the third highest rate of uninsured deposits among U.S. banks, behind the two that failed, SVB and Signature Bank, right? So First Republic stock was down 75%, almost 75% in March. And now the bank's debt has been downgraded by S&P Global Ratings and Fitch Ratings. And all this might sound like gobbledygook nonsense to you. But and what do you care? You care about where your money is and what does it mean to you. And when one domino falls and another domino falls, every domino can't fall, even if we want them to fall, because it'll screw up the rest of us, frankly. That's what it is. So this plan was $30 billion in deposits from major banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, because they're trying to push and have a show of confidence in the regional banking system. That's basically what they're saying, and that's why they're the reason why they're doing that. So they have to alleviate the fear, and you don't want more bank failures. But because of the bank failures, there's that potential for increased regulation and smaller deposit bases for mid-sized banks that could be hurting. Because you look at the stocks, and as investors look at the future earnings powers, power of regional banks, they're changing their mind, right? I mean, a big shock was Credit Suisse. The Swiss traded shares fell 20% on Wednesday because they were concerned that the bank's because the concerns of the bank's material weakness in its financial reporting could lead to it needing to raise more money, right? But the Swiss National Bank, the country's central bank, struck a deal with Credit Suisse to allow it to borrow $54 billion. So you have these other banks lending money to the, you know, the bigger banks lending money to these other banks because of the crippling rippling effect. And Credit Suisse especially would have a massive effect in the global banking system. And again, we can say, well, I don't care about that. I'm here in Florida. I'm here in Alabama. I'm here in New Orleans. I'm here wherever. We do, because if you have money in any bank and too many dominoes fall, well, I don't have to paint the picture for you. Let's just say nobody wants another 2008, because we all suffered from that. I wasn't buying up houses. I didn't have a bunch of mortgages I didn't qualify for, and many of you didn't have that either, right? Or you weren't just gifted a mortgage and you absolutely had not enough to really back that up. So we won't revisit the ghost that haunted us and that really affected a lot of people financially that were scrimping and scraping to, you know, to really hit that retirement and got rocked. So now the other part of this is this option thing. And what happens then when you look at the, when you look at stocks and you look at the option contracts that are going to expire. And that's a huge problem. A huge problem. Because when what happens when the bill is due and there is not the money's not there. And see, it is like a wild, in a different way, it's like behind the craps table that you don't know the mechanisms. What are the banks betting on? Let's put it that way. And that's that uninsured deposit. What are they doing with that? What's happening? And then that's what rocks them. What happens to that? And then we start to find out what happens, and it becomes a negative loop. So you have Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, you have Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, you have the FDIC Chair Martin Grunberg, and then the acting comptroller of the currency saying that this show of support by a group of large banks is most welcome and demonstrates the resilience of the banking system, because they have to back it up. They know the fear is there could be a run on the banks. And how does that happen? It happens from you and I, because we decide we'd rather have our money under the mattress than in the banks, because we have this panicky feeling based on what we're hearing and what we're seeing that's happening with these other banks that are failing. But it's about compound interest, and that's why you're betting on certain things, right? Because how can you possibly catch up? I mean, that's why that old phrase, the rich get richer, because they have more money to invest. And so, boom, it happens quickly. And then they can quickly play this game, and they have the right people around them to know where to jump in and where to jump out. And then sometimes they, of course, get burned as well. So it's very, very wild, the situation that we find ourselves in right now. And we're going to talk more banking coming up with Dawn Pretorius. And she's got a future podcast coming out and all kinds of stuff. She's did like massive amounts of research on money laundering, which blows my mind. Some of the ways money is laundered and things you wouldn't expect. So we're going to jump to her coming up in our next segment. But I briefly want to talk about this, because you've got the military releasing footage showing the Russian fighter jet forcing down the U.S. drone over the Black Sea. Remember, I talked about that a couple days ago. It's very strange. So they've released the footage. So it's kind of like, all right, well, then you decide. What do you think is going on here? And I looked at that footage, and it really shows it, right? This video that's been declassified, it definitely depicts moments in the midair incident that showed which resulted in the downing of our $32 million unmanned drone. But the video is from the camera on our Reaper drone that fell into the water, right into the Black Sea. It pointed backward toward its tail and the drone's propeller, which is turning actively, right? You can see it. And then you see all of this fuel that's being, you know, the jet coming to it. You can see the fuel being released as it gets closer to the drone, right? And then the video cuts out for like 60 seconds. But that was what they believe, of course, is what happened, was when there was impact. But then once the camera resumed the video feed, the propeller was damaged. You could see it. What a crazy, crazy, insane thing. And the tension is high with Russia. Hang with us.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. A former Trump administration official, ex-Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, is assembling an investor group to purchase TikTok from ByteDance. The House recently passed a bill mandating the China-based company's sale of the app, or it faces a ban in the U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's recent remarks on Israel have drawn criticism from Republicans. Schumer labeled Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as an impediment to peace in the Israel-Hamas conflict and called for new elections in Israel during a Senate floor speech Thursday. House Speaker Mike Johnson denounced Schumer's comments as highly inappropriate and simply incorrect. Recent research in the British Journal of Sports Medicine reveals the most effective exercises for reducing blood pressure. Engaging muscles without vigorous movement, such as wall squats or planks, proves to be optimal for preventing and managing hypertension. John Schaefer, USA News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Take you to South Africa here on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, for this version on America Tonight. Dawn Pretorius joins us, and boy, she's got such a timely book, one that I think everybody needs to read. It's called The Shepherds of Inequality and the Futility of Our Efforts to Stop Them. You think about the frustrations with the banking industry. Dawn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Welcome to you, to America and to your viewers.
Yeah, and we've got listeners all over the place, too. So you've been in the banking industry. What have you seen that's happened in banking? Obviously, you're enthusiastic to be a part of it. But boy, things have really changed, haven't they, in the last decade or so?
Yes, banking has changed exponentially. And I think the pandemic has indeed increased the use of technology. So banking has really had to take another leap as far as that is concerned. But what is a particular problem is that we, banking, spend a lot of money and a lot of time in having to apply anti-money laundering initiatives.
Oh boy, no kidding. And anti-money laundering, I think, is so important because there's so much of it going on. I don't even think people understand how big money laundering is. Tell us what you talk about in your book as far as that's concerned.
Yes. What I've done is I've done some research over a few years and looked at money laundering examples around the world. And it is overwhelming what you see. And the money laundering is not just one person or one kind of bad person, if you want to put it that way. It's collusion, it's collaboration, it's huge organizations. It may not be a formal organization, but organizations that apply their minds to how to launder money, how to scam money, and how to make more money. So it is not only the drug dealers, and I've certainly given many examples there in terms of trafficking, human trafficking, animal trafficking. You can traffic sand from beaches. You can traffic donkeys, would you believe it? They don't just take things across the border. They themselves are trafficked. Everything, every commodity can be trafficked, and all sorts of bankers have been guilty, big banks, major big banks, guilty of money laundering, not just breaching the rules, but actually laundering money knowingly. Auditors. So it's many, many people in government. That's a huge aspect. Because these people are powerful people. They have access to various contracts for government, things like that. So there is a huge amount of money laundering. And I was overwhelmed of what I saw there. And I thought, how do you start even writing a book like this? Because it is so much. And that's why I'm just hoping that I have given about 50-odd examples of money laundering around the world. In order that a person, as I say, we tend to live in our own bubble. We tend to know about a few things happening around us, or maybe one big occurrence somewhere else in another country. But do we know how much money laundering is affecting our world? And I believe that is leading to inequality. And I believe that the facilitators are very experienced business people, experienced auditors, experienced accountants, experienced lawyers. Even in the justice system, there is a certain amount of corruption. There are plea deals now because it's easier to do a plea deal than to commit somebody to jail for money laundering. There are all these kind of things that are happening, and this is leading to serious inequality in our society, where there's a big difference between the haves and the have-nots. And that's almost in every country around the world. Governments are becoming weaker because they're collecting less income tax or taxes. And they are therefore not spending the amount of money, or they struggle to spend the amount of money that is needed to look after people who need assistance. And as we say, that number of people is growing exponentially as well. So money laundering is growing on the one hand, and inequality is growing on the other. So there are some people who have huge amounts of money, and it's not that I'm anti-capitalist or something like that, not at all. I do believe that if we have the ability, we can earn the money. And so we are grateful to many big businesses who do run good businesses, do run good companies, and provide employment and contribute to the economy and contribute to the future, our future. So all of that, yes, there are, but there are honestly just as many corrupt companies, which is a really, really sad story. Not only corrupt companies, groups of people, as I said, collaboration, cooperation, collusion, in order to scam people of their money or to hide their own money that they've made illegally.
Yeah, and it's interesting in looking at this, what is your fear for the future, having said all of that and done all this research and seeing how vast the problem really is?
Well, I am really fearful because even if you look at a country like America, which we've always looked up to, the American dream, we see a lot of problems as well. The use of shell banks and that sort of thing, which are not being used. They're being used illegally. You can use them for legal reasons. That's why they're there. But you also can use them illegally. And there's a long story around those kind of aspects. And it's of great concern to me that we are losing, I think, a middle class, a strong middle class, because a strong middle class, what it does is it strengthens your economy. These are people who provide a reasonable amount of income tax or taxes that they pay. They contribute very well to the economy. But what's happening is that you're getting the very, very rich people, very greedy people who are misusing the banking and financial institution systems. They're slipping past. We're not getting hold of them, and they are making more money than perhaps is, you know, almost believable. And then you have obviously the growing amount of people that are struggling to survive. There was a time when we were eradicating poverty and doing really well, but we seem to be going in the other direction now. And of course, populations are growing. I mean, in South Africa, for example, it's very serious. We have an official unemployment rate of nearly 32-33%. I can assure you that there are a lot more people that are not really earning and have good jobs. They might get a bit of part-time work here or a little bit of part-time work there, and the pay is not very good at all. So that brings about huge inequality, and I understand from my research that actually South Africa has the biggest inequality, but many countries around the world, that is a growing problem, and you can see it happening even in developed countries at the moment.
Yeah, so for you, with your book, and I've said this and I can hear this in what we're talking about, you've weaved it in. Ultimately, when somebody reads it, you're hoping to open their eyes, right? That's one of the takeaways.
Yes, I just would like them to be aware, because maybe they have the skills, especially younger generations. Maybe they have the skills, they have the ability. I mean, we've got amazing people in this world who can really do something. And I think we are sitting with archaic structures like income tax, which every year, and I know in America that's a big thing, how many changes have been made to the tax rules. Who understands all of these changes? Who can deal with all these changes? And it's left to the very clever facilitators of inequality, who can obviously earn a lot of money by assisting the wealthy to remain, to be even wealthier. That's just from a tax perspective, but there are many, many, obviously, the illegal use of the financial institutions, which is also growing exponentially. I mean, cybercrime is a big issue. And of course, as you know, they're even trafficking people now in cyber crime. So it's actually getting people to go and work, and then they work on scams and they're forced to do it on a computer. It's a very, very sad world that we live in. And but it's complex. The financial world is not simplistic. It can be just for simple payments and things like that, but when you go into investments and into the bigger aspects of how you can work with money, it becomes really complex. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need people with those kind of skills to go into that.
Dawn, thank you so much. For future information on Dawn, go to www.dawnpretorius.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
It's National Nutrition Month, and we're going to do some myth busting when it comes to dairy milk, which really pleases me because I'm a big fan of milk. So Dr. Tanya Altman, who's a pediatrician and a child health care expert and a working mom, joins us to talk about that. Hey, Dr. Altman.
Good morning, and I'm so glad to hear you say that so you know what's important for kids' growth and development, Kate.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, let's just dive into it. There is a big debate about this. What are the most common myths that you get, or even questions you get from patients around dairy milk?
So I think one of the more common thing that parents don't realize when I'm talking to them in the office is that alternative milk is not a nutritional substitute for dairy milk. It's not equivalent. It's not even a one-to-one switch. So when you look at dairy milk, it has three simple ingredients: milk, vitamin A, and vitamin D. And that's really important. It's also a high quality complete protein, 8 grams of high quality complete protein. And so most plant-based milk alternatives have incomplete protein, which means it doesn't have all those amino acids that our body needs and can't make on its own. The other thing is most milk alternatives, when you read the labels, they have lots of ingredients. So things that are just added to it, like thickeners and fillers and binders and things that, you know, I don't want my kids to drink every day and that most people don't need. So it's really difficult for kids to get enough of the key nutrients they need for growth and development without real dairy milk in their diet.
Yeah, and you're saying this, but I mean, you're a pediatrician. You understand all what you just told us right there, vitamin A, vitamin D, the proteins, not having the fillers and everything else in between with the plant-based. I can't tell you how many discussions I've had with my friends about this. Now you've given all of us more ammunition, so to speak. But as a pediatrician, why do you recommend including dairy milk in kids' diets?
Well, so it's difficult for kids to get enough key nutrients they need for development without milk in their diets. And so milk remains one of the most cost-efficient, a quarter per serving ways, especially with grocery prices increasing nowadays, right, to get this nutrition that they need. And especially in the morning, I love knowing that my kids are getting their 8 grams of high quality protein in the morning before they go to school, whether they're drinking milk or I'm mixing it into their whole grain oatmeal that I make. I use milk whenever I can in cooking and smoothies to mix in just to provide extra nutrition. And we know there's great studies that show that when kids have high quality protein in the morning, it helps them feel full longer and it really helps them focus and concentrate during the day at school. And especially coming out of the pandemic now, who couldn't use a little more help focusing and concentrating at school?
Yeah, no kidding. So when we're shopping for milk, what should we look for when we're reading the labels?
So, you know, it's very confusing now. I've stood there and watched parents shop at the grocery store and they don't know what's going on. I mean, there's so many different types of milk available. So I think it's important to really read the labels and look for real dairy milk that only has three ingredients, milk, vitamin A, and vitamin D. Now, the other thing I find parents don't necessarily realize is that there are many lactose-free real dairy options available that may be easier on your tummy if you're lactose sensitive and still provide your family with all the nutrition that they need. So Fairlife, Organic Valley, Lactose, many store brands, and they have the same nutrition as regular dairy milk. So that's another option. But when you're looking at cartons that have lists of ingredients that have things you can't pronounce, those are things that you want to kind of take a step back and say, gee, does my child really need to be drinking this? And what then are they going to be lacking in their diet? So if you have a child with a true food allergy, a dairy allergy, for example, you have to work with a pediatric dietitian or your pediatrician on all the details of what they're eating and drinking every day, because it's challenging to craft their diet so they can get in all the nutrients they really need.
Yeah, wow, that's great advice. And then I love this one. We just had pancakes and eggs and milk for dinner. How can milk hydrate better than water?
So milk is hydration plus nutrition. So it does hydrate better than water. And if you think about it, milk has in it naturally occurring all those electrolytes that are added into electrolyte beverages, into sports drinks. It also, again, has the carbohydrates that you need when you exercise and that high quality complete protein. So I would much rather have my kids drinking a glass of real milk, even flavored milk, when needed. And that's actually what I bring when I go to my kids' sporting events, those little boxes of flavored milk, as opposed to, you know, sports beverages and juices that have extra things in it they don't need. And I love that your family's eating breakfast for dinner. That is so fun. And when I make pancakes, I actually use milk instead of water in the batter as another way to just get extra nutrition in.
Yeah, me too. I love that. Dr. Altman, what a pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, sometimes I take a rash of abuse from people about milk it sounds funny to say this, but somebody will come over and they're putting something in the refrigerator. They'll say, oh, cow's milk. And she certainly made me feel better about drinking milk because of some of what's in milk, of course. Makes sense. One of the debates that we've had on this show, I won't even say debate, something we've talked about a lot, has been what happened with COVID. Where did it originally start? Everybody wants to know the answer to that. And the latest thing was that, of course, it's the lab leak. That's what happened, right? In Wuhan, that there was this new intelligence assessment. We talked about it, that several intelligence agencies, but then others didn't agree with it, but had a pretty good sense of confidence that they thought that it came from the lab in Wuhan. Now there's this new evidence about the pandemic's origins, and again, it just is more question marks, right? But there's an international team of virus experts that said on Thursday they had found genetic data from a market in Wuhan, China, linking the coronavirus with raccoon dogs for sale there. And that adds evidence to the case that the worst pandemic in a century could have been ignited by an infected animal that was being dealt through these illegal wildlife trading that happens. And so the genetic data was drawn from swabs taken in and around the seafood wholesale market starting in January of 2020, shortly after the Chinese authorities shut down the market because of suspicions that it was linked to the outbreak of the new virus. But by then, the animals had been cleared out. Researchers swabbed walls and floors and metal cages and carts that were used to transport the animal cages, and the samples came back positive for coronavirus. So the international research team found genetic material belonging to animals, including large amounts that were a match for the raccoon dog. And the jumbling together of that material from the virus and the animal doesn't prove that a raccoon dog itself was infected, and even if a raccoon dog had been infected, it would not be clear that the animal spread the virus to people. Another animal could have passed the virus to people, or someone infected with the virus could have spread the virus to the raccoon dog. You know, we're not going to, are we ever going to know this for sure? We're not going to ever know this for sure. And then I have to bring this up because to me this is so shocking. Why do you care about who lives near you? Because what kind of animals do they have in their house? How about this escaped pet monkey that had to be shot after it ripped a woman's ear in half? So check this out. It happened in Oklahoma, if you haven't heard the story. And what happened was the people next door had a pet monkey and it escaped. So the next door neighbor, Brittany Parker, was sitting on her porch when she saw the primate on her front porch. At first, the monkey was pacing. She was on her couch and looked out the window and saw, rather. The monkey was pacing up and down, then started jumping off the railing into her screen door. He tried to get in. He tried to rip off the door handle. She called 911. Officers and animal control came immediately. The monkey jumped on the control vehicle, then back on the porch, where at that time, because then they were there, Parker and her son were standing. The monkey crawled up Parker's back, the woman's back, yanked out wads of hair, then ripped her ear in half, and then ran into the woods while she was being transported to the hospital. So they were able to locate and speak with the officer there, were able to locate and speak with the monkey's owners, who went out to search for the primate, but they were unsuccessful. Finally, one of Parker's family members found the monkey later in the day around her home and shot it. Is that creepy? Oh, it is legal in Oklahoma. I know some of you are listening to us from that great state, to own primates without a special permit or license, with the exception of chimpanzees and great apes, according to state law. Parker, who's still recovering from the attack, says she's concerned about the safety of the neighborhood. I would be, too. How about a law where you have to have them well-trained and have some kind of a certificate? Wow! I checked with my neighbors. None of them, they have some chickens. None of them have primates. Thank goodness. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Great job, as always, Alex Kay on the technicals. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.